Grace, mercy, and peace be with you this evening from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Charles Dickens' novel, A Christmas Carol, is about Ebenezer Scrooge and how his heart was changed one Christmas. And for the most part, it's a story that makes us feel good because, as the saying goes, they all lived happily ever after. But like I said at the beginning of the service this evening, it's another one of Dickens' novels that I think more accurately describes the way Christmas feels for many of us. He begins a tale of two cities with these famous words. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of unbelief. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us, and we had nothing before us. Christmas is a time of contrasts. It's a time of prosperity. It's also a time of poverty. It's a season of goodwill. It's also a season of ugly greed. Christmas is a time of family togetherness. But it can also be a time of excruciating loneliness. It's a season of light. And it's also a season of darkness. Christmas is the spring of hope. And Christmas is the winter of acute despair. Now, don't get me wrong, we all want Christmas to be the best of times. And that's why we decorate and donate and we shop until we drop. We put up trees, we hang tinsel, we cook turkeys, we bake hams. And yes, we even put together all kinds of toys. We all want that holly and jolly Christmas. But we also need to be honest with ourselves. As much as we want Christmas to be the best of times, sometimes it is the worst of times. Let's take those events leading up to that first Christmas, for example. 9 months earlier, there's Mary doing her daily work. She's cooking, she's cleaning, she's carrying water, just like it was any other day. But soon that would change. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord comes in and says, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. For behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." For most women, this would certainly be the best of times. That is, if you were already married. But Mary wasn't. And what about Joseph? You know, we often forget about Joseph in this whole ordeal. Guys, if you were him, would you have taken the news that your future wife was going to have another person's child? Let's also not forget that over the course of 9 months, it's not too difficult for other people to notice the change in Mary's appearance. And we all know what happens when people start talking. when most would consider to be the best of times, certainly could also be the worst of times. But for Mary and Joseph, their worries didn't stop there. As the gospel lesson points out, good old Caesar Augustus thought it would be nice to have a census taken. Seems innocent enough, except for that one little detail. You had to be registered in your own hometown. And that meant for a young couple having to travel back to Bethlehem. Moms and dads, go back in time. Do you remember what it was like traveling when you were 9 months pregnant? Traveling of any distance was the last thing you wanted to do. And then, of course, there's Murphy's Law. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. And so, of course, while in Bethlehem, the time comes for Mary to give birth. Again, this should be one of the best of times. But listen to Luke's account. She gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. There they are. These two new parents with their newborn son amidst the straw, a few animals. Oh yeah, and don't forget the manure. It should have been the best of times. Sure seems like the worst of times. In the Bible, situations like these are sometimes referred to as the times of darkness. Because when we're in the dark, it could be a scary thing. We feel afraid and hopeless and not sure where to turn for help. And I'm sure all of us know what it's like to be in that situation. As I said earlier, we all want Christmas to be the best of times. And so we go out and we spend too much money again. We get worried sick about our financial future. Others are struggling with health or the health of a loved one. Maybe even wondering if this is going to be the last Christmas with us. Some are wrestling with the hurts that won't heal and the wounds that won't go away. And still others, oh, they miss a loved one, either because of death or because of distance. As I said a few moments ago, times of darkness. But it's in these times of darkness that a light shines. For as Isaiah prophesied, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Now, what was that light that Isaiah was talking about? Well, it's actually not a what, but rather a whom. I'm sure Mary and Joseph felt at times like they were completely in the dark. But yet in those moments, God was with them to bring light to the situation. And he's done the same for you and for me. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It was the same God who took Joseph and Mary by the hand and led them through their dark times, who came into this world on the floor of a stable, through the womb of a teenager, and in the presence of a carpenter. Jesus is the light that took on flesh so that he can take you into his arms, heal your hurts, forgive your sin, and destroy your darkness. For the same Lord who laid down his life for us on the cross will also be with us as we face some of the most darkest times and even a frightening future. Because just like Joseph and Mary, we will not walk alone. The one who rose from the dead will be there walking with us, our hand in his. It was on December 17th in 1903 that Orver and Wilbur Wright got their flying machine off the ground. The airplane was born. In their excitement, they decided to send a telegraph to their sister Catherine, and here is what it said. Flew 120 feet. Will be home for Christmas. When Catherine got the news, she ran to the local newspaper in Dayton, Ohio, and showed the telegraph to the editor. He looked at it and said, "Oh, how nice. The boys are going to be home for Christmas." He completely missed the point. Yes, it was nice that Orville and Wilbur Wright would be home for Christmas. But a person had flown in an airplane for the first time. That was the big news. How often in our lives today do we too miss the big news at Christmas? We get caught up in the tinsel and toys, the trees and the trimmings. Oh, don't get me wrong. Those things are nice. But is that the big news of Christmas? No, the big news of Christmas is that God took flight. God left heaven and he came to earth. I don't know where you are tonight. If you're in the best of times, or if you're in the worst of times. Are you in the spring of hope? Or you are in the winter of despair? If you are, listen to the good news of great joy. And what is that? The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Amen.